Well, hello there. And hello, bunny lovers and animal lovers of all kinds. Welcome to my second mini-sode. This special wizardry lesson is the second part of a previous mini-sode. All mini-sodes are under 10 minutes long and they're geared specifically towards small pets. My name is Trinity. I'm the host of the Animal Nutrition Wizard podcast, and I'm going to go over some bunny stuff with you today. Really quickly, before we dig in, if you would like to know where to go to ask me questions or listen to my live Q&As, find free guides on pet nutrition, or where you can go to support the Animal Nutrition Wizard so that I can continue providing free coaching, consultations, guides, podcasts, and more, please visit my Facebook page or group, facebook.com/groups/AskTheWizard, or my page, facebook.com/AnimalNutritionWizard. My group is where you can go in and ask questions, share pet pictures, and see what other people are asking. And my page is where I share podcast updates and host a free weekly Q&A session every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can also support me at patreon.com/AskTheWizard. Okay, let's dig in. Previously, we learned that bunnies should not be fed muesli mixes, as they are often not fibrous enough to wear down teeth, and they give too many sugary options that a rabbit will opt to eat over more nutritious food. We learned that extruded or boring pellets aren't the ideal either, as they're generally too high in calories and also not as fibrous as the bunny needs to grind down their teeth. We learned instead that hay and grass are the best dietary options for a rabbit, and how important it is to prevent malnutrition in the form of obesity. So this mini-sode is going to dig into the issues related to obesity and talk about a very important, albeit gross, part of a rabbit's nutrition, which is psychotropes, and also dig a bit more into how their digestive system works and why it's so important to feed the right food for so many reasons. So let's talk bunnies. Again. So herbivores can survive on a diet of grass and hay, which is very low energy and low nutrition, because their digestive systems are built to work around that. Some are very complex, and their natural instincts are also to eat a lot of it, almost constantly. The great thing about always having fresh hay or grass available, instead of always having pellets available, or only having pellets available and only some of the time, is that it will work to stimulate your rabbit mentally, wear their teeth down, and it will not make them gain weight. It's important to note that if you choose to feed your rabbit grass, that is awesome, but you'll want to grow your own grass for this and never use mown grass. It has more sap exposed than pooled grass or grass still rooted, and makes it more liable to ferment prematurely, which can cause severe GI distress or even bloat. And when feeding hay, Timothy hay is often preferable. Alfalfa is too high in calcium for adult rabbits and should be fed sparingly, unless your rabbit is nursing. So it's appropriate for very young rabbits, which can be anywhere from under 6 to under 18 months old, depending on their adult size. Flemish giants can grow for like a year and a half, they get big. So as we know, a rabbit's teeth are constantly growing or open-rooted. So they're always being worn down and renewed again, which is cool because this means they don't need their teeth brushed. And their teeth have evolved this way because, just like their wild brethren, the vast majority of their diet is extremely fibrous. The never-ending chewing of grass and hay keeps their teeth in good shape and their bodies too. As long as your rabbit has 24/7 access to plenty of fresh hay and grass, their anterior incisors, or the two front teeth, which can grow up to 12 centimeters a year, can be kept worn down. This is really important to rabbits' longevity and health because the majority of dental problems in rabbits are overgrowth of these teeth. A second cause is something called malocclusion, which is essentially poor teeth alignment. And it's often caused by genetics or a past trauma, and this lessens the rabbit's ability to chew effectively. If this is left unchecked, it can be extremely painful or even lethal, so make sure you and your bunny vet know what to look for and can catch it early. Regular checkups, if possible, are very beneficial in helping to make sure your bunny is in tip-top shape from tooth to toe. That's just fun to say. Anyway, if you're providing the appropriate nutrition and checking your bunny regularly, you can avoid the dreaded teeth-cutting vet visit, which is unpleasant for pet and owner alike and can lead to complications for the bunny. So, what else is special about the bunny? Well, its method of digesting this high-fiber, low-nutrient diet is pretty special. Herbivores have stomachs with a very high pH, or that is a very low acidity. And this is mainly because they aren't eating raw meat like carnivores, so there's no need to have a high acid content to kill off pathogens. Rabbits are also what's called a monogastric hindgut fermenter. Instead of having a complex ruminant digestive system like a cow, they have a specialized microbiome in their hindgut, which is essentially their large intestines, and a very large, relatively, cecum, which is at the end of their digestive tract near the colon, that ferments the plants they eat and breaks it down into sugar. And they also manufacture important vitamins such as vitamin A as a byproduct, which is then absorbed into the large intestine and used by the body. The indigestible elements are then passed as pellets and secretropes. Since their digestive system is relatively simple for an herbivore, they have developed a way to reclaim nutrition that they weren't able to digest the first time around. Secretropes are basically leftover food that contains valuable nutrition and is wrapped in a mucousy parcel, which the rabbit then eats, and this mucus protects the nutrients from being destroyed during the second pass through the stomach, where it can then be fermented by the microbiome in the intestine and those missed nutrients retrieved. This is why it's incredibly important to a rabbit's nutritional health to ensure you have the right flooring in the cage. A rabbit should never have a grid or pass-through wired floors. If their secretropes fall through the grid, they will not be able to eat them and they will lose these valuable nutrients. This is also why it's important to protect your pet's health through the right diet and regular checkups, because their microbiome is such a huge part of their digestive process. If a bunny, or really any herbivores, get sick and are placed on antibiotics, the antibiotics will kill not only the infectious bacteria, but also the gut bacteria they rely on to digest their food. Thankfully, many vets will be able to provide injectable antibiotics if it ever comes to that, instead of digestible ones, and this is far preferable for the herbivore. Injectables will not have the same detrimental effect on the gut bacteria, so should your bunny or any other herbivore's pets need antibiotics, check that your vet is able to provide these via injection, or you may end up with another much more difficult health crisis on your hands. To finish off this mini-sode, I would like to clear up any questions there may be on why obesity and just overweight rabbits in general should be avoided at all costs. Some may ask, isn't it better to have a slightly overfed rabbit than a slightly underfed rabbit? And all signs point to no. Obesity in rabbits leads to some pretty sad health consequences. A rabbit that is free-fed pellets is likely to become obese. As mentioned in my first bunny mini-sode, they are programmed to chew 20 or so hours every day on low energy, which equates to low calorie food. So if what they have available is a nutrient-dense, high-calorie pellet, especially at all times, they're likely to do the same amount of chewing, but now they're obtaining far too many calories far too quickly, which can lead to obesity. Obesity means more weight to move around, so the pet is less likely to be as active as they should be. This places stress on the joints, and one of the repercussions of that is it can lead to premature arthritis. Obese rabbits also overheat more easily. It can cause urinary tract issues. Less movement means less bladder emptying, which leads to the buildup of crystals and stones, and in some cases, surgery to unblock a blocked urethra. It can lead to something called sore hocks. A bunny's hock is much like our ankle. When resting, a bunny puts their full weight onto their hocks, and the skin over the hocks aren't very tough, and they should be covered with fur. When extra weight presses on the fur, it actually begins to wear away and exposes the skin, and this can lead to bunnies developing what is akin to bed sores, and it's called pododermatitis. It's very painful for the rabbit, and it can be very serious if the sores get infected, as this can lead to an infection of the joint itself. Once the hocks have become sore, it's really difficult to heal because the rabbit is almost always putting pressure on them. So avoiding an overweight rabbit by feeding the proper nutrition is the best way to avoid sore hocks and infections. Obesity also means less of an ability to reach around itself for cleaning and for eating cecotropes, which may then get stuck in the fur. This can lead to a particularly nasty, heart-wrenching condition known as fly strike. The fecal matter gets stuck in the fur because the overweight bunny is unable to clean itself properly, which attracts flies that then lay eggs in the feces, and they hatch maggots, which then burrow into the rabbit's skin. It is often fatal, and it's completely preventable with a good weight to allow for good personal hygiene. So when it comes to rabbit nutrition, keeping them from being overweight or obese, keeping them from having overgrown teeth, and keeping them mentally stimulated can all be done by feeding the right food, which is a diet that is mostly or all grass and or hay. Extruded rabbit pellets were made for farmers who raised rabbits for meat, so the pellets helped the rabbits to grow faster and fatter, as a plump rabbit provides more meat. Which, this is just not ideal for our pet rabbits, and it's actually pretty easy to provide them with their physiologically appropriate food, which is grass and hay. It's plentiful and it's inexpensive. So that wraps up my bunny mini-sodes. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you learned something fascinating that you can pass on to all your bunny lovers or for your own bunny. As always, stay safe out there and remember, feed those pets like you mean it, because nutrition is magic. Thank you.